Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 14 of season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 classic thriller, taking a problem 1, 2, 3, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Derek McDuff of the Underrated Podcast. Welcome back to the show once again, Derek.
Yeah, glad to be here on this beautiful Thursday.
Yeah, how's the weather up in Alaska?
You know, I'm assuming it's nice and it's beautiful. You know, that's the magic of podcasting, that I can record and be somewhere else actually when you guys are listening to me. But I'm we'll keep the illusion going and saying, yeah, I love it up here.
I'm sure you do. You don't have to keep the illusion. All right, so minute 14. Begins with Garber trying to make things a little more interesting, and ends with Blue warning Green. So, you know, we left things off yesterday with Garber trying to find something to say to these Japanese businessmen, and he's got nothing to do. And he was trying to get some help from Rico, and Rico didn't want to help him. So today he opens things up by saying, "Well, Rico, why don't you tell these gentlemen about some of the exciting things that have happened in the New York City subway system lately?" And he goes, "Well, we had a bomb scare in the Bronx yesterday, but it turned out to be a cantaloupe." And, you know, we laugh at that line, but nobody else laughs at it.
It's just the deadpan delivery of Jerry Stiller is just so perfect right there.
Yeah. Well, again, he's also trying to make something more interesting than it really is.
Yeah, well, and I think he's also being a bit of a smartass, too, because he's just kind of like, don't bother me. I'm trying to read my paper. Oh, yeah, this is so exciting. But hey, we thought it was exciting yesterday, but it's nothing. So this job, I think he's kind of being like, this job is kind of boring.
Yeah. And the look on Walter Matthau's face when he said that is just classic.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I don't know where to go from there. And then he goes, then Rico says to him, "Look, I'm busy, Zach. Okay?"
Which is great, because he's clearly not. He's clearly just like, I'm trying to read the newspaper. There's nothing going on. I just made a whole joke about how nothing's going on. Leave me alone. I don't have any interest in talking to these guys.
Right. So in the newspaper, you can't really see what's written there, what newspaper he's reading. But you can see that there's a headline that says, "The Rich and the Famous. The Rich and Fabulous." So I think he's reading a, you know, like a National Enquirer type of thing.
Like a tabloid type.
Yeah, it's a tabloid thing.
Yeah. So it's not even like he's reading the news or something. He's just like, you know, essentially watching Love Island over here.
That's right. You know, he's watching Love Island 50 years before it, it debuted. And, I mean, Garber at this point realizes that he's not going to get much help from there. So he keeps walking and, you know, continues talking to them. And he goes, "Well, in the course of a normal work week, the average TA policeman deals with such crimes as robbery, assault, murder, drunkenness, illness, vandalism, mishigas, abusiveness, sexual molestation, exhibitionism." So which does not fit in here?
I guess mishigas?
Yes. Do you have any idea what mishigas is?
No, I don't. That's another one of those things. It's like, I know what every one of those is. And when you're going down the list, and it's like, that's a term I've heard before, but I've never stopped to think, what is actually mishigas?
Right. So it's a Yiddish word that means craziness, foolishness, or nonsense.
Yeah.
So what's funny is he just throws in that word. He says, you know, so we're dealing with drunkenness, illness, vandalism, nonsense, abusive, sexual molestation, and exhibitionism. I mean,
I was gonna say I don't know that word. I'm a Gentile. You gotta explain it to me.
Okay. There you go. That's a good excuse. It's a good excuse. Yes, but it's great how he just throws that in there.
yeah that's pretty great.
You know, and again, I think most people, it just goes over their head anyway that he says it. They're not even thinking about it, but I think it's part of the idea that he's also saying this in somewhat of a monotonous way, because he realizes they're not paying attention.
Right. And there, even if these guys do speak English, which they probably, you know, he, or at least he assumes they don't speak English, there's no way they're going to get this Yiddish word thrown in.
That's right. Probably not. Exactly. So yeah. And you know, the four guys are just bowing to everybody as they walk past them and stuff like that. Mm. And it's funny how they sort of give us the geography of this entire Neuve Center with the way that he's walking around it. But usually in a movie, they'll give us the geography because it's going to be important later. It's not that important later as to all the different rooms here and who these people are. The only person that is named that we're going to be dealing with is Rico.
Right. Yeah. He's kind of the one big introduction you get. And then I think, you know, just because unlike the train where you need to kind of know the geography and where people are going and stuff, it doesn't really matter, but it is still good to establish this place where he's going to spend a majority of the movie.
Right. But as he's walking out of the room, it's apparently not the same door he came in because there's a lot more cops than there were before.
Interesting.
You even have like two guys on the side that looks like they're having a water cooler conversation.
Yeah. And you do see a water cooler around here at some point, but I don't think it's here.
I do recall seeing a water cooler. Maybe was it yesterday?
I think it might have been yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, there was a water cooler. Don't remember which day it was. It's not in today's.
Yeah.
And then we're back in the subway itself, and once again it gives us the point of view of the train itself as it's meandering down the line. And then we hear Green say, "Hey, what's your name, motorman?" It was Denny Doyle, sir. Now, do you know who plays the motorman? Did you get a chance to look it up?
I mean, I had it pulled up, but I did not. I don't know.
That's Matthew Broderick's father.
Really? Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. That I would not have clocked. James Broderick. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a very famous actor at the time.
I forgot that Broderick was a Nepo baby.
That's right. And then Green says to him, "Well, you ever been written up?" And he goes, "Yes, sir, once." And he goes, "What for?" He goes, "Running a red signal. How about you?" "Yeah, twice. Once on the Canarsie." And then Blue interrupts and goes, "That's right, Mr. Green. Tell Mr. Doyle all about yourself."
And this kind of lets you in on the fact that this guy is not as much of a hardened criminal as the rest of these guys, that he's giving out personal information to this potential witness, which could, you know, be potentially used to link back to him. It's like, come on, you're using code names that even, you know, your co-conspirators aren't supposed to know who you are. Don't tell this guy these details, because obviously they will, not this one, but they will use details about who this person could be to figure it out at the end of the movie, but that's jumping ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Have you ever heard the term Canarsie before?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Canarsie is a little town in Brooklyn, in New York.
Okay.
Right. So Canarsie is the name Canarsie actually means a fenced land or a fort, and it was named that during the colonial period. With that.
Okay, interesting.
And there are different areas around there. For instance, the area of Great Neck and Vischer's Hook and Flatlands Neck. Those are all there. Now there's a figure of speech called By Way of Canarsie.
Okay.
Which basically means to come to one's destination by a roundabout way or from a distant point.
Okay, so it's the opposite of As the Crow Flies.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. And apparently it was the butt of vaudeville jokes in the 20s and 30s. They would make a lot of they would make a lot of fun of the area. It was known as the Flossie by all vaudevillians.
Catching a lot of flack from all the vaudeville people.
Yeah. Apparently they don't like it. Apparently there were Indians in the area that were known as the Canarsie Indians.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's just I like the way that Mr. Green is acting very naturally. You know, for him, he's on a train, he's with another motorman, so he's just gonna, you know, run off his mouth by not really paying attention to what he should be saying or what he shouldn't be saying. Which again goes along with the whole idea here that this is a guy who has been hired for his quote unquote muscle, you know, for his you know, because he has a specialty. Right. You know, your specialty is going to be driving the train. that's what we need you for.
Yeah. Exactly. He's not one of these like professional guys who's a mercenary in Africa.
No, not at all. And again, we see he's making mistakes. You know, he's trying to give himself a little bit more. He's trying to give out a little more information than he really should. You know, TMI, I guess you can say. But
These guys they're having a conversation, you know. So I would just, it reminded me a little bit of I don't know if you've seen season two of The Rehearsal.
No.
But, you know, the pilot, that's the whole premise, is that pilots are not very good at communicating and talking to each other. He's doing a much better job of that, but to his detriment.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, he doesn't even realize what he's doing. But what I like about this is that Blue really catches on, because he says, do you want to tell Mr. Doyle more about yourself? So he's paying attention that Doyle just called him the name also.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Blue does not miss a beat.
That's right. And going back to something you said 2 days ago, Doyle is the name of another character that Robert Shaw played just a few years earlier. In The Sting, he plays Doyle Lonigan.
That's a good point.
Here we have Denny Doyle. You know, so I like the contrast of how that fits in.
Yeah, interesting symmetry.
Yeah, I doubt that it was done on purpose, but that.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, that was intentional, but it's a nice little wrinkle.
Yes, it is. You know, as the train meanders along, with Mr. Green realizing that maybe he shouldn't have said something. You think he's gonna be better with these things afterwards? Like, did he learn his lesson? What do you think?
I think he's starting to learn his lesson. I think that, you know, he's like, oh, maybe this is something to keep in mind, but I don't know if it's completely stuck yet.
Right. Yeah, I think it's gonna take him a while.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
Yeah, just, I mean, this is, you know, all these minutes, it's interesting because I was, like, watching these minutes. It's like, oh, these are just kind of the expositional minutes, you know, which is important for a movie. But I feel like pretty much all five of these days is just kind of doing the thing that movies will often do, in that, you know, the movie gets established in that first 10 minutes, and you things that are propulsive are happening. You're not really sure what's going on. And then once that's over, it's like, okay, like, why are these guys on the train? What is going on here? Now it's starting to explain what's really happening with the train, what's happening at the police station. So this is like an expositional week.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like an interesting angle, an interesting theme for all the 1 minutes we're talking about here.
For sure. And I think you're right. All right. So on every Thursday, our segment is a trivia game called the 70s Movie Trivia Potpourri. Where I'm going to spin the wheel so that I randomly get the questions that I'm going to ask you, and you know, we'll have five questions about 1970s movie trivia.
We'll see how this goes, because I feel like I'm pretty hit or miss when it comes to the 70s. I know a lot of the new Hollywood guys, but some of the working men directors and stuff like that, I'm not as good on. So we'll see how this goes. Right,
we shall see. So let's spin the wheel and see what questions come up for you? Okay. In 1978, in the movie The Buddy Holly Story, who plays the title character?
I have not seen that film. I'm like, who would even be the I have no clue. It would be just a total guess if I was gonna say this
one. So guess something.
I'm like, who would be even the right age to play that Buddy Holly in 78? Who would kind of look like him from that time period? I'm trying to think. Let's see. Oh man, I am. Robert Patrick. I don't know.
Robert Patrick was not acting in 1978.
Yeah. Okay.
And the answer is Gary Busey.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I would not have gotten that one. I'll be real.
Okay. All right. Let us spin the wheel again for the next question. Okay. During the 1970s, Francis Ford Coppola made four films. All four of them were nominated for Best Picture Oscars. Okay. Can you name all four?
Godfather, Godfather 2, The Deer Hunter, and The Conversation is the last one?
Okay, so you got three out of four of them. The Deer Hunter was Michael...
That's Michael Camino. Right.
Michael Camino.
All right, wait. Hold on. So... I'm missing one, so I got the two Godfathers.
The Godfather Part 2.
Apocalypse Now.
Exactly.
There we go. I was thinking of the guy who was in all of those. There was like a character who was in all of those movies.
Yeah.
I told you, I got these new Hollywood guys.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's go for the next one. Spin the wheel. Okay. In the 1971 film Dirty Harry, what's his last name?
I know this one. This is one of those movies that I haven't seen, but it's like so culturally, you know, relevant that I've definitely heard it. Carmichael? I don't know. I know that's not right, but
Callahan.
I knew it was Dirty something Harry. With a C.
There you go.
Harry Callahan. Damn. Okay.
All right. Let's go again. Let's spin the wheel. Okay. What 1974 film inspired Roderick Thorpe to write the novel Nothing Lasts Forever, which eventually became the basis for the movie Die Hard?
The movie inspired him to write the novel? Because I know that there was the Nothing Lasts Forever movie starring Frank Sinatra.
No, it wasn't Nothing Lasts Forever. It was the detective was right. the movie with Frank Sinatra from the
74 inspired him to I think what came out in it's not The Sting because that came out earlier.
Well, think of something that possibly is connected to the Inferno? Idea of Die Hard.
All right, there we go.
Exactly, perfect. There you go. Yeah. All right, and now we will spin the wheel one final time this week for this trivia game. Okay, who directed the 1979 film Meatballs?
I mean, there's people yelling at me right now. Harold Ramis, I don't know.
You are so close.
Is it another Ghostbuster or something?
Well, if it's not Harold Ramis, who could
it be? What's the other guy's name? No, I'm drawing a blank. See, this is this is why I don't recommend doing trivia when you're feeling sick. You just have brain fog. Irvin Kershner. Not Irvin Kershner. What's his name?
Irvin
Irvin,
Kershner.
what's his name?
No, he didn't.
The other guy. Oh my gosh, I can't remember his last name. It's
He
that
has
other
a son
Ghostbuster
who's
guy,
also a
but
director.
Irv. Why can't I remember his name? His son directed. He directed. Oh my God.
He this is
Yeah,
the director of
I know.
Ghostbusters, who's the
I
same
like the thing is,
director of
I
Ghostbusters.
know who it is. I just can't remember the name. Ivan Reitman. Yeah, I just it was
There
I
you
was
go.
like I just I
Excellent.
knew who it was. I just could not think of the guy's name. And Jason Reitman's his son, obviously, who directed the new Ghostbuster.
Right. Excellent.
Thank you.
You did very well
I
there.
hope so.
You did. You did.
All right.
There's one. You missed one. You missed Gary. No, sorry. You missed two. You missed Gary Busey
Right.
and Callahan.
All
That's it. The other three you got. So,
right. Okay, I'll take it. I'll
you get a
take it.
passing grade. Very nice. Exactly. All right. And now, once again, we will play
All
Name That
right.
Remake. Let's go and spin that wheel again. See what movie remake we're gonna deal with here. Wheel is spinning, 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 spinning. Okay, this is a movie that originally came out in 1960 and was remade in 1986. And it's about a man who owns a flower shop that is madly in love
Is it
with
Little Shop of
a
Horrors?
woman
All right.
yes, it is. Did
I
you know that
did
there was an
actually. Yeah, I
original
know
Little
because I
Shop of
know it was
Horrors?
based on like a play, right? Yeah.
And do you know who
That I
starred
don't
in the
know.
original? Jack
Jack,
Nicholson
he's
is
in
in
the
it, I
Moranis
believe.
part? That's interesting.
One second.
So yeah, I've not
Let me
seen him.
double.
I've not seen him.
No, sorry, no, he's not, he's not, he's not.
Okay.
He's in the movie, but he's not the no, sorry, Jack Nicholson played
Okay.
Wilberforce. He didn't play. Jonathan Hayes plays Seymour. And it was directed by
Oh,
Roger
I
Corman.
mean that checks out actually. That like really checks out.
It's actually relatively short also. It's an hour and 13 minutes.
Okay. I love how like movies from that time period were just like whatever length. Like they were like, yeah, this is 70 minutes or it's like 3.5 hours long.
Exactly. That's very true. All right. So, Derek, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yes, go look up Underrated Movie Podcast, however you are listening to this podcast, or go to underratedmoviepodcast.com for links to all
All
of my
right.
stuff.
Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a search for Movie Around Midnight. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. So until tomorrow, chew.
Zoo tight.